My name is Paul Hansen. I'm the executive pastor here. We're grateful that you're here and a part of what God is doing this day. And I want to just encourage you, if you happen to belong to Grace, remember, we appreciate as God leads on your heart to give. You got the giving boxes or online, whichever is best for you. And if you're visiting with us, we're just glad you're here. So sit back and enjoy the time with us. And if you came with family or came with friends or just came on your own, it's great to have you here. Please make sure just to make yourself at home. You know, speaking of family and friends, not sure if you were here for second service last week, but if you were here for second service last week, Pastor Simpson was preaching, and a particular favorite part of his message for me was when he was sharing and he was recounting his wedding day. And I'm not sure if you were here for that or not, but he was talking, he really appreciated sharing that day when all his fans gathered there with him. You hear that? His fans. Now, in his defense, what he told me was he was trying to say family and friends, and it just came out fams, which sounded a whole lot like fans to me, you know. So, I don't know. Jury's still out on that one. You know, most of us have family and friends. I guess not too many of us have fans. Sans Pastor Simpson. Yeah, that's great. Well, I only hassle Brooks because I appreciate him so much. You know, if I don't razz you, it means I probably don't like you. So obviously that means I must like Pastor Brooks quite a bit. So he's a great guy. He brings much to us, much to the body of Christ. At least that's what his fans tell me, you know. All right, here we go. We're here. Focus, Hansen, focus. We're here to celebrate. And really, as we celebrate this time of year and we come into this time of festive season with Christmas, you know, we talk about peace on earth. So it's natural for us to anticipate peace amongst the nations, right? Well, you know, it depends what you mean when you say peace in that context. And it depends the scope of that you're referring to as well. If you're waiting for the day when ISIS, Boko Haram, Muslims and Hindus and Christians are all going to sit around the campfire and sing, I don't know what you would sing. Let's just say I think you're going to be waiting a very long time. You know, it sounds so uncharitable in church to say you're stupid, but let's just say it's very much not plausible. And yet, when we say things like we're going to teach tolerance, or when we apply the coexist bumper sticker on our car, isn't that very much what we're saying? You know, it wasn't too long ago, just very recently, actually, even the Dalai Lama weighed in on this one. He had this to say in a recent article. He said, when there is peace among the religions, there will be peace in the world. Now, here's the deal. Even if you factor out what religions would teach in that regard, and you just go to historical documents and what other leaders would say, specifically we're going to talk about Jesus, because Jesus didn't come to actually start a new religion. Jesus came to help us to understand the context of a right relationship with him, which subsequently have us have a right relationship with God the Father, and the difference that that could make. You see, he said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, he actually said, do not assume that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. So now, how does that square with all the things that we talk about in terms of peace on earth? Did Jesus really say that? Jesus really said that. Now, you know, context here matters. And context, if you go to that particular portion of Scripture, will tell you that what Jesus is referring to is that all other commitments that I have, that you have, must pale in comparison to the commitment that he is calling us to have to himself. And the thing is, that type of commitment, that type of focus to Jesus doesn't square too well with competing allegiances. It doesn't square too well with the world, with my own flesh, with the devil. Those tend not to like that very much. In fact, I remember years ago, this one picture really captivated my imagination. It actually had a picture of a sword, and that sword was pointed down, and it really had two positions to take, and it said, the spirit, representing all the things that God calls us to, or the flesh, representing all the things that I am. And the caption was simply, it said, one must die, you see. One must die. You know, what Jesus is in fact saying here is the gift that I offer you freely, that we're about to celebrate in this Christmas season, the gift that I offer you and the offer that is here to freely take is an offer that is good, and it's one that will lead to peace in your life, but it's an offer that cannot be combined with any other offer, and any attempt in which to do so will render my offer null and void. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, it's a very exclusive offer that Jesus gives us. He does offer, ultimately, peace to the nations, but it begins with real peace that's available to your heart and to mine. And make no mistake, there can be no peace among the nations until there's true peace in our own heart. And so while there can't be capitulation on this, what we can see is that there can be real peace among the nations because there can be real peace experienced individually. Now, for that, we need to understand that the terms of peace that Jesus offers us is one, well, it's fitting because we are at odds with the holy God. Do you know that? The scriptures make it very plain that we are born enemies of God. So apart from Christ's intervention and his free offer that he gives us, the gift that we're going to celebrate in just a few short weeks, apart from that, there is no peace. Apart from that, we are very much at odds with a holy God. And yet when we choose to accept that gift that's freely offered us, when we choose to accept that gift that God has for us, well, big things happen. One, we experience it individually. And then from that experience, we can share in it collectively, which can, in fact, lead to corporate blessing. Blessing that comes in my home. Blessing that comes in my neighborhood. Blessing that comes in my extended family. Blessing that comes in my community. And ultimately, blessing that can come to the nation as well. That's what God offers. And we're going to unpack what those benefits are that he has for us in the gift of salvation. One verse that we're going to park on over the next several weeks is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and it's verse 6. But before we get that, let me just back us up just a bit. And if you got your Bibles, you may turn to Isaiah 9. We're going to be taking a look at this particular chapter today. It starts off in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "The people," verse 2, "walking in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Now, anyone who has ever been in a dark room or a dark situation knows that it is pretty a difficult place to be. You know, in fact, it can be one that's just downright frustrating. You know, it wasn't too long ago. In fact, it was just this past week. My wife and I were in one of these very similar situations. In fact, we were having a very challenging spousal situation. Did anyone ever have one of these? Or recently, within the past hour, okay? We had our challenging spousal situation due to the darkness. We were in a very dark car on a dark road going away, and I needed something from the back. Okay, it was important. It was timely. It was something I needed then and there. Okay, I'll admit, it was my iPad, but it was important. Okay, now don't judge me. I needed the iPad as I was driving. Okay, it was something important. And no, I wasn't texting. Thank you very much. Gosh. So I was in this dark road on this dark drive with my wife, and I just asked her, I said, "Hey, babe, can you please reach back and get my iPad and hand it up to me?" And she looked back. She said, "No, I can't." I said, "Well, why is that?" She said, "Well, because it's dark." I said, "I know it's dark, but it's back there. Could you just reach back and get my iPad?" And she said, "No." I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it's dark and I can't see." I said, "I know that. I know it's dark, and I know you can't see, but you got to trust me on this one. It's back there. It's like right in the back seat. It's there. You just grab it. Just reach your hand back there, you know." And she said, "No, it's dark." And so I took a deep breath, and then I said, "How about if I do you have your phone? Is that handy? She said, yes, I have my phone. I said, can I see it? And so just don't need to wig you out on this, but here's the deal. So me, I have a very small brain. So I keep my other things in my devices like this that I need to reference, like the iPad, and I've connected. There's a phone that's connect to this. So actually, I can hit a button, and this can beep. All right? So here's the deal. I hit that button, and it's beeping. I said, it's back there. It's like right there. And she says, it's dark. It doesn't matter. So, you know, it was a challenging spousal situation. We just weren't getting past this, right? Okay? And I finally reached back and got it myself. Okay? So, yes, I was driving. Don't judge me. It all worked out fine. And so yet sometimes when we're in these dark, difficult situations, it's frustrating to us, you know? If anything less, you know, the darkness is a frustrating place to be. The darkness is a scary place to be. I think that's why, especially this time of year, we so much celebrate and enjoy the light, right? We enjoy the strings of lights that are up because they're festive and joyful, and they don't work when they're supposed to. You know, for every single one of you out there that enjoys those stringing, sparkly lights, I can tell you there's at least one dad that sometimes has crawled into a fetal position trying to fix those stupid lights that wouldn't work. You know, I swear they make these lights to be disposable now, you know, like within the first like week or two, if they light longer than that, I'm like, yes, they're still lit. And they're always lit when you plug them in the wall. It's just when you get them on the tree or the bush, magically they stop lighting. And that's a very frustrating thing for those of us dads that are kind of stuck with that thing. You know, you say, well, you know, can't you just work on them? Can't you fix them? And, you know, they actually make, they said, you know, don't they have fuses for them? They go, oh, yeah, they have fuses, all right. Like these microscopic little fuses that are like embedded within the plug and sealed with titanium. It's like, it's in there. And if by some miracle you can actually open the door to work on the fuse, I mean, we're talking these fuses are like, they're like the size of Donald Trump's humility quotient, you know? I mean, they're like tiny, 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 tiny. And if you can somehow pry it out, then you have to somehow put it back. It's just, it's a bad scene. So here's the thing. Darkness is frustrating. And even in our opportunity to try to work past the darkness, celebrate the light we've been given, even that is a frustrating experience for us to try to push that darkness back. It's frustrating. It's difficult. And the light that God gives us, though, in Christ Jesus is so different than our vain, futile, silly attempts. The light that he actually brings to bear on your life and on my life, it actually penetrates the darkness. It actually has great effect. It makes a difference. It brings illumination. You see, there's no one in the world that really doesn't admit that there's a problem in the world. Most do not dare to say that this is Disney World. They recognize this is a dark world. What we can't seem to agree on, though, is what needs to change and how that change really happens. Well, thankfully, for the peace that God offers us and the gift that he offers us, actually, through the scriptures, it's actually pretty clear of how his light has tremendous effect on the one who would choose to receive that light, to receive that gift. And there's tremendous benefits we're going to see that go with it today. We're going to see that the tremendous benefits in the gospel and in God's gift for us that happen both personally and corporately. You see, God, through the gospel, ultimately meets the needs that we have on every level of our heart. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his, what's the word there? Benefits, his benefits. We sing joy to the world. We did that today. Why is that? Because these benefits not only happen on an individual level, but when we embrace it individually, it leads to collective blessing. That's why Psalm 33:12 can say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So these benefits that we are going to go through today are of tremendous importance and of great consequence to your life. If for those of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus, and for those of you who have just never done such a thing, it's important that you understand what they are. It's important that as we go through these benefits today that you see what they are and can identify them clearly, because God has a unique responsibility for your life to use those benefits you've been given. And so you need to see clearly on this. And that's why in a few short weeks after Christmas, we offer a class called Perspectives on a Sunday night. If you've never taken it, you need to. You really need to consider it. It helps you to understand better the global role that God wants you, that's right, little you, to play in his big kingdom agenda. And that's why it's important for you not only to see what these benefits are, but to truly understand them for yourself and to know what difference that should be making to your life. And that's why we give you opportunity, like what you just saw up on the screen before we started the service today. Having received these benefits, God wants you to utilize them. God wants you to take them forward, and that way, if it's being part of a short-term mission trip, like potentially to Guatemala, or just understanding on how you can be actively involved in sharing what you've been given, that's an important step for you. And again, if you're not a believer and you're here today, you're here because, wow, it's around Christmas time, and that's something to kind of do, get to church, celebrate the season, all those things. I want to just encourage you to really think long and hard about the things we talk about today and do something with it. You know, here's the deal. Believers in Jesus Christ aren't masochists. Most and foremost, I think we're a group of people who have found out that we are most satisfied in our lives when God is most glorified. And that begins when we accept the gift that he's offered us in Jesus Christ. So what are the benefits? Well, we're going to cover three key ones through Isaiah chapter 9 as we anticipate Christmas that really affect us both corporately as well as individually, that affect us both as men and as women, that affect us as families and ultimately affect us as a nation. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, at this time, we would pray, God, that you would intervene and you would help us. You would give us a clarity of thought. You would help me to have clarity of speech, and that you would use it all to bring you much glory. Thank you for your light that you give us. Thank you for stepping into our darkness. Help us to understand, Lord, the benefits that come with receiving your free offer of reconciliation between ourselves and you. And we pray your blessing over the time, and we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Jumping in, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's move up to a verse where we're going to be sitting on these next several weeks. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, what kind of child, what kind of government, what kind of peace are we talking about here? And how does it affect the nations, and how does it affect you? Well, if you've been here with us at Grace Community, you know for these past several weeks leading up to our time of Advent together, we've been focusing on some real key issues of discipleship that we really thought were important for us as a church. But prior to that, where we're really headed, we've been spending a good amount of time in the book of Daniel, and we're going to be returning to that after the Christmas season. As we've been going through the book of Daniel, a number of things that you can probably note, first off, the ancient world was very much not familiar with the notion of one singular God that existed, that created, that ruled over all things, much less a God that would offer grace, a God that offered to reconcile himself to his broken and his hurting creation. Instead, we see pagan deities like Marduk. Maybe perhaps you might remember that name. We talked about it in one of our messages. And in the Babylonian traditional religious understanding, there was actually two primary deities at the time, Marduk and Tiamat, who early on had warred together. And through this war, Marduk won, using the corpse of Tiamat to actually create the cosmos as we know it. You know, and what's interesting is you hear these stories, you can't help but to see what stunning contrast there is when we start talking about the God of the Old and New Testament. You know, these pagans pagan deities act just like bigger versions of us. And yet what we see in the scriptures is we see something entirely different. Entirely different, where you talk about a God who's interested in a relationship with you and a relationship with me. In fact, that would have been something that back in Daniel's day would have been completely unheard of. And yet you and I have the privilege of hearing that today. And that is exactly what we hear as we read Isaiah chapter 9. It starts off by saying, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Now, Isaiah in the Gospel of Matthew connects this child with the understanding of really who this child is. This is no one less than who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. What we're talking about is the fact that God gives us his very self. What was impossible for us to do, to be reconciled to God, God freely provided, and that through his very self. This is the place where we begin to understand that for you and for me, we deserve death, we deserve punishment, we deserve judgment, and yet instead we're offered peace. Instead, we are offered a gift of a right relationship with God. What God gives instead, God gives us his grace. This is huge, you know, and here's the thing. A lot of us get hung up on this because of our own difficulties that we've experienced in our personal lives. It doesn't take a rocket science to understand that this world is hurting and broken and very difficult, and we've had grievous evils, many of us, that have been done against us. And we've had a hard time with that fact. And my friend and I, this past week, was just discussing a particular fellow we know who has kind of fit in this category, who really has taken the posture and the position that what was done against them was so evil, so wicked, so grievous, they'll never, ever, ever, ever forgive. And that's just ultimately the end of the story. And the sad and sobering thing about that is what the scriptures make plain is that if we do not forgive men when they sin against us, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, this isn't some sort of tit for tat. What this is just revealing. Because you got to understand, if we're true when we say we've accepted the grace that's been given us in Jesus, if we're true and we're straight up to the fact we say, I'm a sinner in need of mercy, well, then we got to recognize what we were actually offered was so different than what we deserved. We were given grace when we deserved judgment, and that should cause a great difference to happen in our heart. You see, the problem with that, though, is that this grace that's given to you and this grace that's given to me, it comes and it arrives in light. In the light where we recognize the frustration of the darkness, we're many times afraid to leave the darkness behind us. Because even though the darkness is scary, even though the darkness is frustrating, for us to step into the light, we need to admit for what we are and what we need to admit to what we see. And what we see and what we are many times is not very pretty. It shows a heart that's wayward. It shows a heart that's an idolater at its core. It shows a heart that's really desperately wicked. And if we're honest, it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us feel bad. But see, the thing is, what we need to do is we need to come into the light, because what God wants to do is to clean us up. What God wants to do is to bring the light to bear into our very dark world. But unfortunately and sadly, many times we are just simply content to remain hidden in the darkness because we don't want to address those issues of our heart. And subsequently, we miss out on the grace that God wants to freely give us because we act as if it's okay. And it's not okay. You know, it was many years ago now, 20 years ago actually, I was not the good-looking, fine pastoral specimen that you see in front of you today. Oh, no. It was much worse. I remember when I was a young pastor, my beautiful wife and I lived in a little house and had a very dumb dog. And that combination didn't always serve me very well. My wife was great. The dog, not so much. And there was this one particular time, I remember we were to go, I said to go as this young pastor, do this call into this elderly couple. And this dog was particularly dumb, at least I called him dumb, because he had the uncanny ability to always do his doggy business right where I was about to step. Like each time, like it was just scripted. He just somehow had this uncanny knack, which was not very helpful to me. And so on at least one particular time, this had happened, and I didn't know about it. It had gone through a cold day much like this, and everything was pretty much frozen in place till I arrived at the very warm shut-in where we were going to go visit this this couple. Walked in the door and was visiting briefly with this elderly couple. And as we were sitting there, I began to notice something that was different, you know. It was just like, at first it's just something in the back of my mind that said, you know, I just remember this place smelling so much better than this before, you know. And you know, I thought, well, maybe it's my imagination. And I realized, no, that's no imagination. That's bad. That's really bad. So I just, you know, I was carrying on conversation. I just sort of just, you know, try to like figure out where's this coming from. So I smell my wife, you know, like, and I'm thinking, no, it's not her, you know. And the process of elimination, all while I'm carrying this conversation, is going through my mind. I'm like, okay, it's not my wife. I don't think it's the house. I think this is me. Like, what's going on, you know? And so as I'm trying to carry on a conversation, and this is just going through my head, I happen to cross my leg, right? And I put my hand down towards my shoe. Well, in a moment of a flash, I'm holding about 2 pounds worth of poo, dog poo, in my hand. Here I am. I'm sitting in this people's living room, you know? It's like, you know, the first thought that goes through my mind is, I'm going to kill that dog. And the second thought is, what do I do now, you know? Do I just, like, act casual and put it in my pocket, you know? And it's like, what do you do? And you know, as crazy as that is, oftentimes that's our MO, though, in how we deal with the fact of our own wayward heart. We just put it in our pocket and act casual. We're good, you know? And the fact is, we're not good. We're not good at all. We stink, and it's stinking up the room, and it's going to lead to problems and difficulty much more than what we have currently. We need to come clean. We need to get cleaned up. We need to come into the light and say, God, Daddy, God, can you clean me up? Can you fix this? And he wants to say, yeah, I'm going to fix that. Because see, here's the deal. You're actually much worse, son, than you possibly ever could imagine. You just see that. Let me tell you, it's actually a lot worse than that. But guess what? I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to give you grace generously and abundantly. That's what God wants to give you in the gospel. That's one of the benefits that you got to hold off. But see, we tend to miss it. We tend to miss it, you know? And that's a problem. It's a problem for us when we fail to come into the light. You see, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 puts it this way. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we need to come to a place where we say, God, I've got positively, absolutely nothing, but I'm convinced that you've got everything. I'm an absolute pauper and I'm poor. Lord, you are rich and you've got it all. Is that the position of your heart today? You see, Jesus wants to give you that grace. Jesus wants to give that to you if you've never experienced it, or if you have slipped and fallen, you started off following Jesus, but you got all sideways. Tell you what, my God is a God who likes to put things the right way, and he wants to put you in a place of abundance. He wants to give you the grace that you need today, but you need to come into the light. You know, biblical humility is not something we ever outgrow our need for. We need to humble ourselves to admit, it's me, I stink, and I need cleaned up, and Jesus, will you do it? And later on, we need to recognize that we don't grow and get bigger in the kingdom by somehow now doing some sort of self-start strategy. It still comes back to the only thing that makes me righteous is the relationship that I have with God through faith by his grace. That's it. And so Jesus put it this way, it's the only way you'll ever be great in the kingdom. So regardless of where you're at today, I want to encourage you to really think long and hard about these benefits. If you've never embraced the gospel, or if you have, these benefits have tremendous consequence for your life if you're seeing them clearly or not. You know, Philippians 2, I'm not going to put this one up for you, but I love the way this puts it, you know, because Christ not only is our means for salvation, but he also is our model in salvation. Let me unpack it this way. Philippians chapter 2 says, he being Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. You know, and what we see here in Isaiah chapter 9 is that the government shall be upon his shoulder. Here's the deal. One day, Jesus will return. One day, all this wrong in this earth is made right. And what the scriptures make plain, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And yet, in the meantime, what do we know as believers in Jesus Christ? As believers in Jesus Christ, our prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, you got to understand, God not only gives you grace through his gospel, but God, he provides you with guidance on the day to day. That's why it says in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, that we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him, and he will make straight our paths. You know, it was after the election this year, which admittedly has been a very difficult experience, but to many folks I knew, they acted as if life was absolutely positively over. You know, and I'm not talking about just those who wanted Clinton. I'm talking about those who wanted anything and everything but Donald Trump. And yet, it obviously didn't go that way. And yet, here's the thing. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it's okay for me to weep. It's okay for me to feel disappointment. And yet, when I act through some circumstance that's been brought to me, that if my whole world has been put into a total tailspin, I'm telling you, something is fundamentally wrong if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because our hope ultimately is not in this world. Our hope is not in this particular country. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who will one day set all things straight. And so the good news is, while the gospel is given, it's given to you that you might be a giver of grace. That's why you have it. He wants to change what your life's about. So no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, and even if your hope happens to be deferred, you serve a God and a Savior who gives you guidance day to day in how you might do that effectively. And so there is great reason, even in our difficult circumstances, to find joy and to rejoice in the gift that's been given us. You see, in that sense, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is both prescriptive and instructive for us in the way that we should view life. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, it's prescriptive in the sense that without forgiveness from Jesus, we truly have nothing. If he has not given us grace, we have zero. But the fact he has given us grace, he's enriched us in every way. We simply need to come into the light to receive it. It's instructive for us, though, because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. So now I send you. And so he wants to utilize your life in the guidance he gives you to bring much glory to him in making your life be of something of meaning and of significance. You know, kenosis is the technical term that theologians use to describe Christ emptying himself of all the advantages of deity that he had. And while emptying himself in that way involved a lot of humiliation, you know, from the king down to the cradle, my goodness, but it also provided him with some freedom in how he interacted with his fallen creation. Jesus didn't need to say, fear not. Jesus simply arrived and said, follow me. And you got to understand, in that respect, because Jesus did not reach into the bag of his deity, if you want to say it like that, he lived his life in such a way that we might follow after, especially as he gives us the enablement of his Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 puts it this way. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So I'd say, please don't lose sight of these benefits. When we lose sight of these benefits, we see dimly. When we see dimly, we become dumb. And many times, to be honest, we are very dumb when we just lose sight of what's truly important. And sometimes I think, can we really be that dumb? And then I come across, I kid you not, this is a true thing, came across not too long ago, it was a cape and a costume. I'm hoping it was for a child, but I can't be entirely sure. But it basically came with a cape, and there was a big warning label that hung off the side of it and blazoned on the side. And it said, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. And I'm like, is that really a thing? You know, is that really, can we really, you know... You know, the thing is, you know it is because some yahoo jumped off a roof because he had, I mean, watch why the tag's there, right? You know, and I think, yes, the answer is unfortunately, for all our learnedness, we can actually be quite dumb. Don't be dumb and miss the most important thing as we celebrate this Christmas season. Don't be dumb if you're a believer in Jesus Christ to the fact that you have been given great benefits in the gospel. Grace has been given to you, and that should shock you, and that should amaze you. Guidance is offered to you today, which is huge. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you got to see what God gives you in this gift. It's not just about the baby Jesus in the manger. It's about the gift given to you of absolute redemption. The baby that grew to a man, that died on a cross, that took the sin you deserved and I deserve, that I might be forgiven, that I might be known by God, that I might walk into his presence with freedom and with confidence. These things are given you, and this should excite you, and this should draw you, because this is what of consequence, and this is what matters. You know, we tend to regulate peace to simply having maybe a glass of wine or a bottle of Prozac. And I'm telling you what, the peace that God offers is so much more than that. The gift that he gives you and me is so much bigger, and the benefits are so amazing. As we close in Isaiah chapter 9, it tells us a little bit in terms of description of this God that we have, that we get to know. It says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Here's the deal, people. What he offers you and what he ultimately offers every nation as those people come together and call on is that he offers them the opportunity to share his greatness. You know, speaking of our own context, there's a lot of talk today about making America great again. But the fact is, greatness is not a commodity to be sold or to be purchased, and it's certainly not something that comes easily. Perhaps the problem may lay in our own vernacular of what we call great. We talk about it being a great day, or they're a great guy, and it's been a great weekend together. You know what? Greatness really is inextricably linked to that which is truly great. Good. That's what makes something great. And Jesus put it this way. He said, no one's good but God alone. And so how great we are as a country or how great we are individually, really the measure of that greatness will always be inextricably linked. It'll be based on the connection or the lack thereof we have with the one who is truly great. Who is truly great. John Newton was a man who lived many years ago, and he lived a life, let me tell you, you want to see a life that was in darkness? You want to see a life of frustration? You want to see a life of fear? You look at the early days of John Newton, and he lived those days. And yet he found Jesus Christ. He was a slave trader. That's what he was. And yet in his later life, he found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw these benefits that are available to him. He saw these benefits that this great grace was to be lavished on him. He saw that God would guide him and not forget him. He saw that the greatness that he really had sought to be in a self-made man was given freely through Jesus Christ. And he, at the end of his life, had this to say. He said, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." You know, this sort of idea really frees you up from bootstrap living. You don't need a better you. You need the you granted to you freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, true greatness is not something that you're given on the basis of who you are. True greatness, you want to hear this? True greatness comes from understanding who God is, what he's done, and who you are in Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? True greatness doesn't come from being self-made. True greatness comes from who God is, what he has done, and who you are in Jesus Christ. And what are some of those things? Some of those things include the fact that you, if you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you're accepted by God. You're God's child. You're God's friend. You have been justified. Understand, you have been declared righteous before God. You're secure. You're not condemned. Instead, you're assured that God works all things for your good, and you are loved, and you are significant. You're a branch of Jesus Christ. You've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit, and you're God's temple. All these things that people chase after to be accepted, to be secure, to be significant, is given you freely in Jesus Christ. So the hope of the gospel, one day, the return of Christ, there will be peace. There will be healing in the nations. That's a fact. But yet in the meantime, peace among the nations is tenable, in as much as we embrace God's gift freely offered us. And we got to understand, there's plenty of reasons for us to embrace it, people. That grace is given to us freely, that guidance is provided to us, and true greatness is really granted with us. It's granted to us. As the psalmist put it, it says, "You stoop down to make me great." So as we close today, isn't it time that you decide to do something with this? Isn't it time that you actually start living with these things in focus? If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, I think the takeaway for you, for me, for all of us in that camp could be, do I live in light of these truths today? That grace lavished on me, guidance is given to me, that true greatness is mine, and that should really have great effect in the way that I see the world and what I do in the world. And if you haven't yet chosen to embrace Jesus as your Savior, today's your day to do it. You're never going to get a better offer than this, no matter how far you look. This is something that's offered you freely. And here's my challenge to you. If you desire one or two of those commitments today, my challenge is that you would talk about someone today before you go. And I don't care who it is, but share that with someone today. Make those decisions today. Make the celebration of the gift given you freely in Christ Jesus is worthy to be celebrated this Christmas season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the good things that we have in you. We ask just your blessing, Lord, over these people. And we would pray, God, that you would help us to live in light of all the benefits that are given, that we would not forget them. I would ask, God, for anyone in here who's not yet come to a place of asking you to be their Lord and Savior and to be forgiven. Thank you, God, that we can love much because we've been forgiven much. Thank you for all the good things we have. We pray, God, that this Christmas season would be a fantastic one. We really are rooted in the truths of the gift given to us in your Son, Christ. We pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Go in grace. We'll see you next week.